Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm gonna make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you wanna get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here.
We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino. With cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast. I'm Keith Caulfield, Senior Director of Charts at Billboard.
And I'm Katie Atkinson, Billboard's Deputy Editor Digital.
How's it going, Katie? Are you feeling sad that summer's almost
out? Oh, my goodness. Don't remind me, Keith.
I know. It doesn't even feel like summer, though. We just have, like, seasons, and we're just working through them.
Well, we're in LA, too, so.
Also, like, you know, once Cal becomes school-aged, it'll make more of a difference
because
he'll be at home with you all summer long.
Yes, that's true.
Got to get in Cal into every single episode of the Pop Shop.
That's right.
As always, the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast is your one-stop shop for all things pop on Billboard's weekly charts. In addition, you can always count on a lively discussion about the latest pop news, fun chart stats and stories, new music, and guest interviews with music stars and folks from the world of pop. Today on the show, we've got an interview with Bozzy. We had a great conversation focused on his new mixtape, Soul Searching, so stay tuned for that in just a minute. Plus, we've got chart news about Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello's single Senorita, Young Thug, and Taylor Swift.
But first, before we get started, if you enjoy the podcast, subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast provider so you won't miss an episode. And if you want to explore more podcasts from Billboard, visit billboard.com/podcasts.
Okay, let's do some chart chat. First up, on the Billboard Hot 100 Songs chart, Shawn Mendes and Camila Cabello's duet Senorita rises from number 2 to number 1, scoring Shawn his first number 1 single on the Hot 100, and Camila her second, following last year's Havana featuring Young Thug. More on him in just a second. Senorita rises to the top with gains in both airplay and streams, though it was down just a little bit in sales. And with its rise to number 1, it bumps Billie Eilish's Bad Guy down to number 2 after just 1 week at number 1. Now, as always, make sure to check out all of Gary Truss' coverage on Billboard.com about the Hot 100. He manages the Hot 100 chart. He's got lots of stories about their jump to number 1 and what it means, and he puts it in perspective. And he has some great fun facts about duets at number 1, and even something about all those number 2 songs that we thought were going to be blocked behind Old Town Road, and now they're not anymore after Billie Eilish and Old Town and Shawn and Camila. So go check it out. Next up, over on the Billboard 200 albums chart, rapper Young Thug, hey, just talked about him, notches his first number 1 as So Much Fun debuts atop the list with 131,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending August 22nd, according to Nielsen Music. Now, his run at number 1's probably going to be short-lived because next week, industry forecasters expect that Taylor Swift's Lover, have you heard of that album, should debut at number 1 with perhaps over 750,000 equivalent album units earned in the week ending August 29th. Now, if Lover starts atop the list, it will mark Swift's 6th number 1 album. And as I said earlier regarding Shawn and Camila, make sure to stay tuned to Billboard.com throughout the week as we monitor the progress of Lover in its march towards number 1, and just to see how big Lover will be next week. All right, well, now it's time for our interview with Bozzy. The singer and songwriter just celebrated more than 2 billion on-demand streams for his songs earned in the United States of America, according to Nielsen Music, thanks to hits like Beautiful and Mine. And now he's got a new mixtape that just came out called Soul Searching. In our interview with Bozzy, we talk about the project and its meaning. We have a really great discussion you know, kind of all about like genre and defining genre and how it's really difficult these days. It's, trust me, it's interesting. We also talk about song length and how, you know, there's no rhyme or reason to how long a song has to be. I mean, if you want to geek out, we totally geek out in this chat. We also talk about his musical upbringing and how he first sort of learned how to play guitar and a lot more. It's a great chat. So take a listen to our interview with Bozzy. This shit be like Friday nights. This shit made me feel alive. I feel like we in paradise. Paradise. Welcome back to the Billboard Pop Shop Podcast, Bozzy.
Hello, hello.
How are you?
Here I am. I'm good. How are you?
I am swell. I want to start this off by just kind of setting the scene in sort of where you're at right now in your career. In the past year or so, you've scored two top 40 hits on the Billboard Hot 100 chart. Your album hit the top 20 on the Billboard 200. And I don't know if you know this, but just 2 weeks ago, your catalog of songs in the United States surpassed 2 billion on-demand streams.
Crazy.
According to Nielsen Music.
That's just crazy. In the U.S.
That's just in the U.S.
Insane.
That's not global.
Insane.
Did you know that?
I actually didn't know that. That was just in the U.S. That's crazy.
And now your new mixtape, Soul Searching, came out on August 9th. Congratulations
on
that.
Thank you so much.
You know, you called it a mixtape.
Yeah.
Why did you want to call it a mixtape instead of an album?
Yeah.
Pretend like listeners of this won't really know what the difference
is. The distinction.
I got it.
Like, what's the intent there?
I think for me, historically, a mixtape has always been a very cohesive story. Mm. I think it's very mixtape. Mixtapes kind of point to the roots, and that's what Soul Searching was. It's a lot about, you know, how I grew up and how I think and my own personal struggles as Cosmic felt a little bit more commercial, you know what I'm saying? So I wanted to do that so people would look at the entire project rather than, you know, look for a couple star tracks that are singles or whatever it is. I wanted people to really hear my story and listen to it like that. So
that's so weird because I think a lot of people would kind of describe it almost... Not necessarily in the reverse, but, you know, like Adele will say, like, my new album, you know, 21 is about, you know, when I turn 21. So, yeah. You know, I think it might be sort of the perception that people have where maybe, like, you viewed mixtapes as more of a personal thing, but now maybe where you're at sort of in this industry, maybe an album is sometimes seen as, like, a really kind of commercial thing with a bunch of singles.
Exactly.
A collection of singles.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how, like, the two words have kind of... morphed in their meanings recently.
Exactly.
100%. This is the stuff that we obsess over.
Yeah,
but like a mixtape is something somebody like, you know, on Venice Beach might sell for $4 or something and it's like they're...
It feels, to me, it feels a bit more homegrown, which I like.
Yeah.
Like, just like what you just said, it's somebody, it feels like scratch started. You know what I'm saying? It's like, this is the root and this is the dirt and existence of like where I am or like what I came from, which is, I love that. I think that's really cool.
You tweeted about how it's, quote, composed of pain, passion, and soul. Was there a specific concept or goal in mind, you know, regarding the project? I know you already said it's very personal, but it seems like, I mean, I don't want to say it, but there's certain tracks that have certain lyrics that make me think, oh, I think it's about this.
Yeah.
But was the intention to tell a specific kind of story?
I think the story I was telling was a very broad one, which is just my life. So there wasn't any specific like elements or, you know, tastes and flavors I was trying to stick to. It was just kind of like the sub general like consensus of myself in my life. And it was a conscious decision though, with songs, because I had a bunch of songs that I didn't put on the project, because they didn't fit the story and the relevance of the music. So
On the mixtape, and I think sort of in general, you know, you're straddling different genres. And, you know, a lot of press material put out about you by your label has described you as R&B pop. And then this mixtape is a blend of pop, R&B, and hip hop. It's really hard to define genre right now.
Yeah.
I'm like Post Malone, for example, is kind of all over the place. Yeah. We had a long conversation about him earlier. You know, do you see yourself as a certain kind of artist making a certain genre of music, or are you just like, I make music and wherever it fits?
Absolutely not. I see myself as just an artist. I don't even see myself. I mean, I obviously clearly see myself as a musician, but man, I'm just having fun with it. I like to make stuff that sounds good to myself. Like that was like all of Cosmic was composed of songs that I never even thought I'd put out. I was just making studio in the studio. with a really good friend of mine making songs that I like to listen to, that I play for my friends and we would all listen to. There was no like commercial appeal to it, or I hope people are going to like this, or I hope it will fit in somewhere. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where like the uniqueness came. And I think there's a million things you can do making music today. It's impossible to like box everything and be like, this belongs here, this sounds like that. That's why genres are like make no sense now. It's like Post Malone's a rapper, but he's actually never rapped before. Like he's never spit like a bar. You like, know what I'm saying?
We were wondering, we're like, you know, you rap on this record.
Yeah. Like I'm actually.
Do you think of yourself as a rapper who sings, or do you just happen to be a singer who sometimes raps?
Yeah.
Or do you even think of that?
No.
Like, so think about
it.
I do
think about it, because it, you know what I'm saying? Like when people like to like write out the little press releases and a clear headline, it's very confusing.
Producer, dumb people like Billboard asking you these questions.
Yeah. Nah, but yeah, I think it's like, man, one day, like I've loved like the clean rock sound of like All American Rejects, and I always think one day I'm going to like take that and like run with it and
yeah.
like do some stuff like that. Like I think it's fun, man. I think people have success in music and create the fear of trying new things and create the fear of moving away from what's already working, and mm-hmm. I think that's really sad. And that's why I try and not focus on the accolades, because you know, sometimes by taking those risks you may, you know, lose something you've created, or something that it's like you're selling people a product and you start selling something different. People are like, we like that. We like the soap. We don't want shampoo.
But
it's
so
like,
if you define yourself by a genre, then you pigeonhole yourself as being someone who has to make hip hop or someone
who
has
something.
To make
something. Yeah, exactly.
I was just going to say, when you look at like top 40 radio too, they're not playing, just one, you know, quote unquote genre. It's all coexisting together. You hear a Post Malone song followed by an Ariana Grande song or whatever. So exactly.
Ariana Grande is like rapping on her own.
Yeah,
track.
Exactly, for sure.
Exactly.
It's so different now. Where you can do, I think it's, you know, to your point, you know, if you don't sort of come out of the gate as a certain quote unquote kind of artist, then maybe there's more acceptance or freedom, you know, for you to be embraced by all sorts of different people.
Exactly.
I want to make, which is, I mean, great.
I want to make music for everybody. Like, I'm like, once again, it's like if I was looking at myself as like a business and I'm like trying to sell a product to a specific demographic, like that's not how I think, you know.
Right.
I make music that I love. I think I'm a tasteful person. I jump from listening to Prince to Luke Bryan to Beastie Boys. Like, I have no like specific taste when it comes to music, and I think that people should be more open to that idea, which is how I approach my music.
Those, you know? Two of those artists explicitly were very redefined what we thought of them. You know, Prince started off as an R&B artist, but then suddenly he makes incredible rock music, but then he has like pop moments, and then he makes like full-on like dance, like house jams.
Exactly.
Beastie Boys started off as like sort of a weird novelty hip-hop act, and then everyone was just like, wait, now you're making rock music?
Literally rock.
But you can still do rap?
But still,
it's like, what are you doing to us?
Music, yeah. I was listening to man, what project was it? It was the big one, like the biggest one they had, the one with
License to Ill.
Yeah, License to Ill. I was listening to it with a friend, and we were just like, once again, trying to put a finger on it. And it's like, it was the coolest thing trying to do that, because it's impossible.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't even make sense, which is cool. And that's what art should feel like. I think it should feel foreign. You know, that's what art is about, is creating that perspective. And when you think you know something, you think you see it. But when it's far away from you, you can see it actually clear. So.
Yeah,
that's cool.
It feels like streaming allows a lot of those things to live together way easier
for
than
sure.
they ever did before.
It's like everything is like a mood, you know.
Yeah.
It's like
you don't
like
have to turn the radio
before,
dial.
Before, if you had a record store, I mean, you couldn't put up, like, people are going there with like, you have to, you can't, you know, scroll and click. It was much more difficult. You had to purchase something. So if you put something pop in a hip hop section, people would be furious. It's like, I like the cover. You know what I'm saying? Why does it sound like this? Like,
well, you also needed a way literally just to categorize things.
Yeah.
To make it easier to find stuff in a store.
Yeah.
I think it's super interesting on the mixtape. There's 11 tracks. Only one of them is actually over 3 minutes long.
Yeah.
It's 3 minutes and 4 seconds. Did you intend on making like super short songs, or was it just you going, no, I think the song's done now?
Yeah. No, it's never like an intention. I've never ever.
Because Tool just put out a 10-minute long song that charted.
Yeah,
that's
true. That's crazy.
So, yeah.
It's insane. Wow.
That's the entire length of your mixtape. And, like,
yeah, that's
it.
Maybe double. No, I've never ever made a song being like, this has got to be short. It's just how I have this like subliminal song structure in my brain, and it always turns out like that. It was funny because when Humble Beginnings was 3 minutes and 4 seconds, and we were like, "Whoa,
the long
how did that happen?" Like, it's crazy.
I get to be over three.
Like, I'm just scratching my head at it. Yeah, it's crazy. I don't know. It's just how I like to listen. I like to finish songs when I listen to them. Like, a cool that Tool 10-minute song is probably sick, and there's probably a lot of great stuff that
it's
happens.
Probably amazing.
But I couldn't sit through that. I'm so, like, when I play music in a car, that's not me. Like, I'm like a DJ. Like, I'm minute and a half of a song to the next one. Because I feel like people make songs long. Like, that Tool song is definitely 10 minutes on purpose, so respect to them. But yeah, a lot of people make a 3 minute and 30 second, like, long song because they think they have to. It's like, right, oh, it's too short. Like, let's throw a bridge in there. Like, or whatever it is. Like, double hook. Like, I'm not going to, like, follow a structure. That's not creative.
Extended outro.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
I don't know. I'm just making up phrases now.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned Humble Beginnings, and you're from outside Detroit, as you say in the lyrics, formerly Canton, Michigan. I'm from Michigan as well. I see your Tigers hat. Loving it.
Come on.
When you were growing up, you know, did you, what was your humble beginning like? Was there a lot of music in your house growing up?
A bunch of music. My parents never played or did anything like that, but they put us on to a lot of cool stuff.
Your parents didn't play? Like, they didn't, you mean they didn't play instruments or they didn't play music?
No, they didn't
house?
Play instruments.
Okay.
They were big on music though.
Okay.
Put us on to a lot of cool stuff.
Like what?
I mean, I remember, like, Elvis and Ricky Martin was, like, my mom's favorite.
Yes.
We watched a lot of Ricky Martin. There's, like, videos of me with, like, a hair comb, like, dancing to Ricky Martin.
Like, Livin' La Vida Loca Ricky Martin?
Literally, yeah, that's him.
Or, like, Menudo Mickey Martin.
I don't know, Menudo.
Like, the boy band.
No. Livin' La Vida.
He was, okay, like, a toddler when
you were, like,
Livin' La
Vida
Loca
when Livin' La
Vida
Loca was
yeah,
out.
Two or
exactly.
Three, yeah.
It was a hit. So.
Yeah.
yeah, and they put us on to cool stuff like that. Me and my brother just fell in love with it. It was it. Like, I won't. Second I could talk, I was like, guitar lessons. And my dad got me an oud. And it's actually funny, I remember I had this guitar teacher when I was 5. This guy is, like, insane. And so I heard Good Riddance by Green Day, and it was, like, the first song I learned how to play. It's super simple. Da-na-na-na-na-na. And I came in, and I went home that night, and I wrote a song on the guitar. Mm. And it was pretty much Good Riddance, except I had, like, moved, like, one chord around. And I came in, and I was so excited to show my guitar teacher, this weird man teaching me in his garage, whatever it is. And I play him this lick, and he's like, "That's Good Riddance by Green Day. You're copying it." And he, like, screamed at me. I was like, holy shit, this person blowing me up. Yeah, he's like, and he screamed at me. I was like, "Bro, I'm 5. Like, you should be like, oh, good job, man." I'm like,
right.
Yeah, it was crazy.
You're like,
I'm not
looking out for the lawsuit. On Humble Beginnings, you say, quote, "Nothing doesn't make you who you are, because money buys designer shit to wear over your scars.
Designer shirts to wear over your scars."
Sorry.
Yep. Genius has messed up a lot of the lyrics on my
really?
Album.
You knew that I went to
well,
Genius.
We can fix it.
Yeah, it's okay. Yeah.
We'll fix it right here and now with this podcast.
Humble Beginnings.
Money buys designer shirts to wear over your scars.
They just
designer
wanted you to cuss more.
To yeah, right?
Scars, they just
right?
wanted you to cuss more.
I've seen
more.
So many. We got to have someone on that. I called you about that yesterday.
And nice. This is also making me look stupid because I actually did listen to it. We listened to the damn mixtape. And it's
good.
Making
I
it seem like we didn't.
I believe you.
But you do say, "Grateful for it all, but my wealth is in my heart." Correct?
Yeah.
Okay.
I did say that.
Is that sort of mantra, is that message something that you learned, like, from growing up, or is that something that you kind of learned the hard way when you have started to get successful in the past
definitely
couple years?
Definitely the hard way.
Mm.
I mean, it's crazy. You're taught to consume, and it's like...
Money changes everything.
Yeah, and you chase this just American dream of being wealthy. And I think this project, I talk about it a lot on this project. It was important to me to start spreading the message that that has nothing to do with your internal happiness. It actually makes it more difficult because... you're raised on this idea that it will make you complete, and then you get it and you're like, why am I still so empty? Why do
right.
I feel more empty? And I felt like it was so important because, like, I've had the most validation out of, you know, having a cool interaction with a stranger, you know what I'm saying? Or somebody doing something genuinely nice in front of me out of just the goodness of their heart. Those are the things that have made me the happiest. And just getting it, you realize how, like, you know, you realize things just can never do that for you. Because it's like you sit in a car and then, you know, it's so cool. It's like, wow, I got a Bentley, for instance. And it's like sick, like tan interior. It's so cool. It's so cool. And then like a month later, you know, you realize you're still stuck in traffic with everybody else, going the same place as everybody else.
The Bentley doesn't just like rise up.
It doesn't
up
just
and
rise up and fly
traffic.
Away. You're still in the traffic.
Jetpack
still,
Bentley?
It's a, you know, you get used to the tan interior. You start thinking, man, maybe a red one will look. And it's like you realize that it's a bottomless pit. There's no end to that. So I just realized that, you know, nice things are fun. Like, I like them. I like nice things, like, 100%, but it's not even a percent of who I am. I'd be completely happy without any of it.
You kind of mentioned this already kind of the subject matter of kind of being humble and the fame and the success. And you echo that again in conversations with myself on the album. Where
the mixtape.
On the mixtape.
Come on, man. Corey, get them.
Get it together.
Hit them. We were both wondering how much of that was just like improv at the moment, because the first half of the song seems like it was rhyme structured.
Yeah.
But then the second half is just you kind of, I feel like it was just spoken word pontificating. Yeah. Was that really just you
It
talking?
Really was. So basically we had recorded the first half of that record. And then we had this bit, and the second I listened back to the first half, I was like, I need to speak here. I was like, I have to speak there. And we had the record done for actually like 3 or 4 weeks before I did it, because I wanted to wait for a moment where I could just like verse. And it definitely wasn't in the studio. I just like grabbed my voice note. Like it was one day in New York, and I like ran in my bed. I finally felt the urge to say articulate it how I wanted to say it. I just went in the bedroom and I just versed, and we literally.
Is that what you use?
Is that what you use, the actual recording?
I use the actual recording. Oh. I'm pretty sure I have it on this phone.
So the song that people hear on the mixtape is actually you recording your own voice onto your phone, and that is the same audio.
That is, in fact, very personal.
I'm pretty sure I have it on this.
I mean, having to try to recreate
that. Turns out this is all a lie.
No, having to try to recreate that would be so unnatural, too. Like, trying to get the same, and also, frankly, say the same thing.
Frankly, the audio quality was pretty great.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, right. Shout out iPhone.
It's let me see if I can find it real quick.
It's like Apple suddenly in the recording studio business.
Yeah,
it might be. Is that where most of the songs start for you? Like, do you just like do a voice note real quick when you think of a rhyme or a lyric or a moment, and you save it for later?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's like it's interesting. Like an idea just hit me today. It's really funny, just because it's like sometimes it'll be like a melody will just literally fly into my brain. I'm like, oh, this is cool, and it's like, you know that feeling when a song is stuck in your head. Mm-hmm. That's how most songs come to me. It'll be like a melody gets stuck in my head. Like one, I'll just hum.
Like your own melody.
My own melody. Yeah. And then I'll like, and that's what's happening right now. It's super funny. But this is inspired by the story on the plane yesterday. But yeah, a lot of it is voice notes. I mean, it's just like, I wait to make music. I wait for music to find me. I never try and find music. Cause you chase it and you strangle it. Music's a beautiful thing. Like it's, I feel like when people who have like the mentality, like, I'm going to work as hard as I can to make an album. Like, I think that's the dumbest, literally. Can I swear on this podcast?
Yeah, of course.
I feel like it's the dumbest shit ever. It's like, I'm in a studio every day and literally work 15, like, that's like you're building a science project or a plane. You're not building something creative and beautiful. So I'll wait weeks. Sometimes I won't make music until something hits me. I'm like, oh, I love that. Like, I'm going to go work on that.
Right.
And that's why, like, 100% of the music I make comes out. Because I never like guess on records. Like, I hope this is gonna be cool. Like, I only make stuff I know is gonna be great. Otherwise, I wouldn't make it.
Let's try to make a hit.
Yeah.
No.
That seems like the perfect note to end on.
Yeah. Because
like that's, you just defined like, you know, your method of making music.
Yeah.
I don't think we're gonna get deeper than that. Yeah. Honestly. Exactly. Thank you so much, Bozzy, for coming in today. Really appreciate it.
Appreciate it, guys. Thank you.
I just had to let you know you're mine.
Thanks again to Bozzy. Such a great chat, and we are looking forward to even more music. Maybe another album after this mixtape. We'll see.
A series of mixtapes. We don't know. And now it's time for the chart stat of the week.
I can't stop this feeling deep inside of me.
5 years ago this week, the Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix Volume 1 album topped the Billboard 200 chart for a second week. On the list dated August 30th, 2014, the hits-filled album full of classic tracks that everyone knows and loves held at number one for a second and final week on the list. Guardians of the Galaxy is an especially notable number one album because it was the first number one soundtrack where the whole album was composed of previously released songs. All of its tunes were released between the late 1960s and the late 1970s, and most of them were chart hits on the Billboard Hot 100. The album and its music play an important role in the movie. They are all on a mixtape, an actual cassette tape, in the main character's Walkman, and you see this cassette and the Walkman throughout the entire film. Well, that's going to make sense even more in just a second, trust me. The album has gone on to sell 2.4 million copies in the United States, and thanks to how the music plays such an important role in the movie itself, and how it was seen on a cassette in the movie, the eventual commercially available cassette edition of the soundtrack has gone on to sell 61,000 copies in the US, which, trust us, that's an enormous figure for a cassette album, which is essentially a dead format of music. So there you have it. 5 years ago this week, Guardians of the Galaxy Awesome Mix Volume 1 hit number one on the Billboard 200 chart.
What kind of feeling? I'm high on believing that you're in love with me. I'm hooked on a feeling.
All right, we are at the end of our shoe. Any parting words?
Oh, man. Summer. Bye, summer.
Summer. See ya. What song should we go out on?
Oh, let's go with Summertime by Fresh Prince.
DJ Jazzy Jeff and the Fresh Prince. See you guys next time.
Bye.
Here it is, a groove slightly transformed. Just a bit of a break from the
norm. With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.